else would you want to be? You know, this is the place that you can come, you can get any help that you need here, and you can feel part of a community, you can feel valued, you can feel cherished.
Today, with Helen Needham, Operations Manager of Feeding Coventry, and Ellie House, who is a multifaceted, creative, interesting film CEO of Feeding Coventry. And Helen, while we're in your garden, thanks for hosting us.
Oh, thanks for coming.
Let's talk about Feeding Coventry's ambition and its journey so far. Feeding Coventry is a charity, a food charity in the city that we all are connected with, and that is going to be the focus of our conversation today. Ellie, would you like to go first and take the journey so far?
Well, I've been with Feeding Coventry for a couple of years now, and when I first started, I got handed the keys to Fosil Community Centre.
We like being handy keys.
It was so exciting. It really was. It's such a, as you know, it's a huge building at the top of the Fosil Road, and at the point at which it had been handed over to the charity by the City Council, so it's kind of gifted on a peppercorn lease for us for the benefit of the community. It had been empty for about 5 years, but it's always been a community asset and there to be, you know, used by people and for people. So I was kind of started at the start of that journey of taking on the centre. And then we employed Helen and Jean-Baptiste, who's our wonderful operations manager and support worker, to establish the social supermarket. So that's the primary offering that's in that location. And it is a means of allowing people food security over a longer period of time. So obviously people will be familiar with like food crisis interventions, like the food bank, where you can go and receive, 3 days worth of food. But the social supermarket is much more about offering a dignified shopping experience for people who are either on very low income or who are struggling with food insecurity. That can last for as long as that journey is required, and allows for wraparound support to take place as well at the same time. So that's where my kind of involvement has come from so far.
Helen? You've got lots to add. I know you have, lady.
I always say, like, this is my favourite subject.
Your mastermind.
Yeah, exactly. Specialist subject. I was brought on board as the operations manager in it was January of last year, and we started working on the like background processes ready to open, and we actually opened the week before the COVID-19 pandemic hit. And so we'd actually only been open for a week and able to see customers inside the social supermarket, and then there was a rapid change of processes and a huge increase in demand and need for the social supermarket. So I guess how we planned the first year of the operation changed quite dramatically, but we were also delighted to be able to continue with our service, although it looked completely different. Because you know that we really wanted to be able to help people at this really difficult time, so we started to operate outside of the building, and I guess at that point we were operating as an emergency food provision and considered an emergency food provision. You know, we've gone in and out of various lockdowns and changes in, you know, guidelines and regulations since then. And I feel like at the moment we're really, really starting to get some absolutely cherished moments where we've come a long way from providing that emergency food provision, where we're now starting to see that we are able to provide a lot of that wraparound support that we'd intended to provide. We're we're able to engage people in, you know, lots of activities. We're starting to put together a wellbeing programme, but at the minute we've got the community garden, which is our main source of engagement, and we've seen a lot of people get a lot of fulfilment out of being part of that. And more and more members are actually becoming volunteers now and just coming on a holistic journey with us. And you know, that the support side of things was, you know, what drew me to this role in the first place, and it's something I, you know, love to do with a huge passion, is support people and see them flourish. So I think it's a really exciting time now for Feeding Coventry, that we're going to get the opportunity to see more and more people really, really have huge benefits from being part of our service.
But there is a real sense of joy when you go down there. It is, obviously, it's a really crucial service, but when you turn up, everybody does have a smile on their face, and it does feel like a family, you know, stepping through the door.
I think it does. We've somehow managed to create just a wonderful culture there, where it's an awful lot to do with the volunteers. The volunteers are willing to, you know, do whatever it takes to make people feel welcome and to bring people in. They're just so good at bringing people in and making them feel completely welcome and completely as if this is the place that, where else would you want to be? You know, this is the place that you can come. You can get any help that you need here, and you can feel part of a community, you can feel valued, you can feel cherished. And I think honestly, I take my hats off to the volunteers about how they do that, because that is what is so special.
Yeah, you're obviously very lucky with your volunteers, but I would also maybe throw that back to you, that good volunteers only flourish in good organisations, and you have to have that reciprocating relationship. You know, you can have the best volunteer in the world, but if they're not feeling useful or engaged or believing in what they're doing, then, you know, so I think it is kind of hats off to Feeding Coventry for...
And to you, Helen. You know, you do have to take credit for steering that ship. Good eggs attract good eggs, don't they? And it is a real family, and everyone has found their role.
Yeah, totally. I mean, Ellie and I have talked quite a lot about how we'd like to, you know, try and give as much back to our volunteers as we possibly can. We'd like to actually, you know, kind of formalise that volunteering into some way of like some formal accreditations, of like different actual roles and progression routes for volunteers, because the truth is, they, you know, thank you for what you said about, you know, creating the culture, but I think the volunteers just truly are the backbone of the organisation, and we'd really like to, you know, look at every way we can to like make people continue to feel special and look after them.
I think like compassion is probably the word that springs to mind when I think about the social supermarket and the atmosphere that is in there, because volunteer journeys, they all look different, and some people come in as, and they are incredible supporters, and other people come in who are members of the social supermarket and then get involved because they want to give something back as well. And I think we seem to have like a really nice like reciprocal relationships between sort of staff and volunteers and projects that kind of operate in the centre as well. But what underpins it all is this sort of understanding that, you know, everyone is on their own journey and there's no kind of judgment about where you are on that journey, but that everyone has got something that's really important that adds, you know, adds value to the centre. And I feel really proud of the, you know, the atmosphere that's like created by the organisation and by Helen.
Definitely. And I think pandemic hit and we were open a week and then we were shut. Actually, as a trustee of Feeding Coventry, gave me that time to go in to the centre, the supermarket, really see, really feel what it's about, and have that understanding. You know, it was a real learning curve for me and my journey. It really opened my eyes to the meaning of food poverty And it is all that community engagement, isn't it? You know, you can come in with these great ideas, but actually it means nothing and it's soulless if you haven't, if your community's not driving them forward or they're not accepting.
And your community is phenomenal, isn't it? I mean, I just remember, like, at the peak when you opened and everything was just felt like crisis, the community support that you had of people up and down the Fosel Road and local businesses. And
the hospitality got announced, didn't it, to shut, and the pubs. I just remember the streams coming in with food, and then, but then that was like bizarre because there, we could only take so much, and there's some things because of our food like accreditation that we had to refuse, and you just,
it was bizarre because, you know, obviously we're all about the people and supporting people on their journey, but also it highlighted that, like, the food injustice that there is in our current sort of UK food culture as well. So yeah, we were super lucky to be supported by a few different pubs who kind of recognised us and came down and like gifted that food and offered their staff time to come and bring that in. But you just think to yourself, how many places have to throw food away, like, as part of the way that they operate their business, when there's so many people who are struggling still. And I really love the, you know, like the connections we were able to make that were about sustainability. So, you know, not just kind of gifting from what was left over, but also kind of offering other opportunities for us to link in with, like, that food supply chain as well. And actually those networks have become invaluable, haven't they? Like, as we've sort of moved into, you know, our more structured way of supplying the supermarket. Obviously we have to bulk buy because we do serve so many people, but we do also have really nice connections with, like, local businesses and growers and manufacturers as well.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the businesses that have donated to us and supported us through the pandemic, we're purchasing the food from them now to supply the social supermarket, because, you know, I'd much rather be purchasing from local suppliers. We've got such a long way to go with regards to our food sustainability and, you know, how we, and our supply chain and how we manage that. We've got, you know, a lot of exciting ideas about, you know, growing as much of our own produce as possible and making sure that we do use, like, locally grown food, local suppliers, but we're, you know, within our capabilities currently, we're trying to stick to as close to our values as we can, which is purchasing from local suppliers, many of whom have, like, donated to us time and time again.
I guess it is that that really holistic approach that Feeding Coventry takes. That is why Vortex Creates has been drawn to Feeding Coventry as an organisation, and obviously Maz being a trustee. It is on our doorstep, it's a stone's throw from our studio. But I think for Maz and I, that sense of it being more than just dishing out food, more than that single solution. There is varied solutions and a need for a range of offers for communities in order to bring about a lasting change for food insecurity, but that wider community well-being. And so I'm kind of interested as to what it is about the act of creation and doing and being involved in things that is so important for centres like Feeding Coventry.
I think in terms of our programme of, like, projects and activities that are about creativity, I think it's two things. First of all, it's the thing that you picked up on, that it's a really joyous place to come into. And I do think that, you know, your environment is everything. It's so, so important to your mental well-being. And I have in my own past had the unfortunate experience of having to go into statutory organisations in order to sort out, you know, benefits and housing issues and things like that. And you're met with a wall, you know, you're met with somebody behind a counter, behind a screen, the security, there's a queuing system. You very much feel like you're not important, you're just another person on the conveyor belt. And I think that it's super, super important to walk into somewhere and feel like a vibe of kind of homeliness and supportivity and connectivity. And I love the fact that, you know, when you walk in through the doors, we've got pictures from the community centre from like the last 50 years. This is my favourite topic, as you all know. But we've got such a wealth of photographs of all the community activities that have taken place in that centre and around that centre over literally years and years. And I think that, I think the sense of that still sits within the building. And then not to mention the fact that obviously Maz, you and Nicola were able to supply us with that incredible kind of like the ceiling hanging decor
for the launch.
Everybody loves that. Everybody who walks through the doors says, oh, this is amazing. Like, who did this? And I'm like, wow, what, one of our trustees, Maz, works for, she's got her own company, like Vortex Create, and this is like what she's created for us. Everyone just loves it.
Yeah. And I think that thing about that everyone loves it, like, yes, we created it for the launch and for the users, but then, you know, unfortunately, like you said earlier, Helen, we had to operate outside, so, you know, then it was shut to the users, to the customers, but it gave joy to the people who were in. You know, the volunteers, to you could go into your environment every day and be greeted by like sweet corn and potatoes, or hang suspended out of like giant tin cans covered with grass.
And it's kind of unique, isn't it? It's not
very unique.
That is what we love doing, is just going, oh look, we have in our store, in our studio, we have got a whole aisle of fake produce. What could we possibly do with this? Oh, we could do something.
And actually, even the potatoes aren't potatoes. They're actually lemons. We were like, oh, but if we like spray them up, like they're amazing potatoes. So it is like, you know, a part of our remit is to like reuse and repurpose and, you know, surprise people with how we do it.
But then you've been constantly supporting us with your like amazing ideas. Do you remember when we had to move outside and everybody else is like, you know, getting their like
get the traffic cones out,
blue tape or black tape, and you know, putting that down to
and your horrible yellow keep a safe distance of 2 meters tape.
And Maz is like, we should do a rainbow 2 metre path. And then that's another thing that everybody loved. They had to queue outside.
And what do we happen to have in the studio? Yeah. We happen to have some chalk spray. Could we just do some chalk spray on the floor?
Yeah, so everyone got to queue up on the rainbow path.
And it's nice as well that you can know and understand from something visual. Because, like, obviously a lot of the centre users, like, English isn't their first language. And there was that barrier as well, wasn't there, about understanding how this needs to work now. But it just felt a nice way of being able to do it.
But I think at these times, kind of, environment has been so important, and it's got wrong in so many places. You know, just going to a shop that is ordinarily nice feels horrendous because stickers bark orders at you, and then there's plastic screens, and you can still be safe but think about all of those other things you would ordinarily think about in terms of colour and texture and your user experience. And it's almost like everybody just panicked and went, oh, user experience has gone out the window, everybody must line up like a factory, get to a plastic screen, do this. And it doesn't have to be that way, and I think Feeding Coventry shows that really brilliantly, that, you know, actually environment is really important. Like, when you go home at the end of a day, you don't turn on a strip light and sit on a hard chair. You sit on a comfy chair and you think about your lighting, and, you know, it's really important to kind of give people that feeling of worth through where they're entering into.
Absolutely. Yeah, couldn't agree more. Added on to that as well, I think that the, you know, like the flourishing of the garden, and the fact that we're really, really lucky to have you know, a lot of mature trees outside the front and kind of sit a little bit further back away from the Fosel Road.
Feels secluded.
It gives a little bit of a more secluded, you know, you've got a little bit of natural kind of breathable space outside as well as in. And I think both those things are really important.
Well, it's that same act of creation, isn't it? Like whether you're creating artwork or creating things to grow, like that, that being productive with time and your hands and that opportunity to talk and discuss and make a different, a physical difference that you can see is gives everybody what they need inside, doesn't it? It's a, such an important part of being human, making and
to feel genuinely part of something and needed. We can do that at the centre because of all the things that we've got going on. People find their role and they know that, you know, they're part of something really special, they're part of a team, they're really like really valued. And it's just I can feel that they feel valued and that they're genuinely part of something, and that's a really special thing to be able to offer somebody.
I guess it's over kind of the last 25 years of working as artists in environments, one of the biggest, my biggest bugbear is the dumbing down of arts activities, any activity. Producing crap on sticks is my kind of most favourite word, but it makes me so angry because actually that is not how you engage, because it feels tokenistic. And you know, I guess you have got it so right at Feeding Coventry. You know, what is it for you that really makes, what does true participation engagement look like for you?
Well, I mean, it's participation that's led by the people who it's meant to be benefiting. And so I do think that there needs to be some instigation of that, because you have to bring the recognition of why it's important. So we have been working recently with local arts producers who've got ideas that they want to bring to some of our groups for arts and craft activities, and it's a case of, you know, showing people some of the things that are possible, and then stimulating new ideas about how they might see that fitting into the space that they have then taken ownership of. So whether it's creating something that's decorating the garden, or whether it's, you know, signage and the windows, it's about allowing people to kind of take that and use it in the way that is beneficial to them and to the centre, rather than just going, right, it's a class at 10 o'clock, like, if you want to come, then you can do. But afterwards, you know, when you take your thing home, or we'll throw it in the bin. It feels a lot more, it does feel more wholesome, and it feels more like it has a life beyond what it is that we're doing. You know, there's been a lot of planning work go into what the actual physical, like, attributes of the indoor and the outdoor space are going to really look like, and so then how we add on to those. So some of these the arts and crafts activities that we've got over the summer, we're hoping will lead into some more sort of like family friendly kind of festival days that we could host. There's one of our volunteers who's been with us right from the beginning, who's got this vision to have a mural on one of the large walls that's outside. And, you know, we don't have the resource to do that right at this moment, but through the arts and crafts activities, we're looking at ways in which we can start to kind of develop the outlines of a design and what that might look like. We're also talking to the people it's not a wall that belongs to us, so the people who do actually own the wall,
to see
if they also want to come and get involved. And fascinatingly, we had a conversation with them the other day, and they came into the centre, and I said, oh, you know, have you ever been in here before? And this, you know, the gentleman who'd come in said, oh yes, I used to be part of the weightlifting team. And so, well, we went on a tour of the centre, and on the photographs that's on the wall, there is a picture of the It's like the Hindu weightlifting team
that's, right.
that used to be at the centre in the gym. And this gentleman knew the man who was on the picture, and it's from the 70s. And you're just like, oh, this is fantastic. Because then you're just like, you're drawing in like another sort of strand of interesting history and culture and things that can all become like part of this,
yes.
you know, hopefully like a piece of artwork that will then be there for everybody.
And how nice that was there, though, for him to see and engage. It's that... I think it's funny in life how it works out sometimes, isn't it, about like what your actions do and then what that leads on to, you know.
And it is that connection, isn't it, and making connections within your community. And that mural is wanted, but it's not just, oh, we're just going to ship someone in, we're going to work out what the resources is. You want to get to the point where people go, I want to make this amazing thing happen, but I know all the people in our community and further afield and professionals that are in our city that can make that happen. And, you know, I know it's going to cost this and we can get this donated. And actually to be able to have that knowledge as a community is, we need to get this done, this is the way we're gonna do it, rather than it always being done to and just kind of experienced but never by everybody, and never really understanding what goes behind the things that are done.
It is one of my bugbears when people come in and just like do a, you know, go, here's your resource, do a thing, and then just and then leave and expect it to be valued or to have like a, you know, some kind of impact or significance, because it just doesn't. And it is, it's so much more like fruitful and meaningful when those things are done as a collective. In fact, like for my own sort of practice, I only really enjoy creating with other people. It's not something that I do,
like
it's something
solo.
very rarely that I do for myself personally.
Okay.
You actually have a huge talent in bringing people together to co-create. That does emanate through the centre, and I think like it's so valuable what you bring to the team in that respect.
Oh, thank you.
It's true.
It's like a love fest.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It is. On the relics, I tell you what my favourite relic is. The bus, we spent quite a while, didn't we, like trying to work out what it was.
Yes.
And it's like all the names, like it's all the different districts of Coventry, and you were just like, what is this? And then we've like worked out it's the, like, from an old bus, the, I don't know what you call them,
the flippy thing that has your numbers on and the,
yeah, and it literally, it doesn't have quite every single district, but we had it out in the community hall, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it literally pretty much goes from one end to the other. And, well, I was like, there's Copswood on it, which is actually where my district is. But not a lot of people know where Copswood is, but it sits somewhere between, like, Binley and Wykeham and Lower Stoke. But I'm like, it's on this! It exists! But there was also that nice thing about people then coming in and being, picking, oh, there's... That's Fraser Road.
Well, it was like the line band that time forgot, isn't it, inside that community.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, rewind to that moment.
That was super fun.
Like, like the bingo calling machines.
Not just one.
No. Because you just
two,
can't have...
three, was there?
But what happens if your bingo machine fails you? You need a backup.
You need a backup.
You?
Well, don't worry.
Don't worry.
Fraser Community Centre's got you.
Didn't you also have a bingo calling machine? Didn't we borrow that at some point?
We did. We borrowed that for just when
tombola.
We needed the, yes, the tombola
There's
experience.
We've got about six tombolas.
Yeah. I remember going, like, we were thinking, oh, that's probably something that Feeding Coventry's got, and like rung up just kind of, I don't suppose you got a tombola, and I think that was your answer actually. Come in, got a selection actually. What are you looking for? That was sort of just like open this cupboard.
Tombola's
ours. Oh, it's a tombola shop. Brilliant.
My favourite relic is the 1950s sanitary towel dispenser.
Wow. Yes.
I mean, when I first saw it, I kind of thought it was a cigarette dispenser because of the sort of shape and size of it. But then when we kind of got the packet out, it's a really old kind of like fabric sanitary towel, isn't it?
That you tie on.
No, not tie on it. It came with its own safety.
Lovely safety pins for around there.
Oh no.
Wow.
Yeah. Risk assessment.
Does that still exist?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, does it's it? still in the okay. back.
God. I thought you were saying just sanitary towels with safety
with
pins.
Safety pins.
I don't think so.
I'm gonna say no.
Oh my goodness.
Have you got a favourite relic, Helen?
I like the old sewing machines, although I don't actually sew myself, I just think, well, they just look beautiful and I just really appreciate them.
What legacy do you want City of Culture to leave Feeding Coventry?
Well, I'm very excited about City of Culture because I'm lucky enough to be on their leadership programme, which has been a really supportive space, actually. So there's 15 of us across mm-hmm. the city from all different types of backgrounds and practices, but it's been a really good space to be able to connect with other creatives. And actually I would say all of the cohort actually is really invested in like social justice as well and well-being. There's a real cross-cutting theme there. So that's been a really great space to sort of try and start to lay plans for how we could work together and cross over. So mm-hmm. and that started happening now. So I had a meeting with Marius Mates, who
Ooh,
was part of the opening ceremony. Yes. He's the most incredible breakdancer, and we're hoping that he'll be able to come along and do some teachings as part of yes. our summer holiday exciting. Activities, which is really exciting. And it kind of opens us up to a little bit of a different element of the community in
Absolutely.
And I've been talking to another one of the cohort, Melissa, about In Paint We Trust, which is the street art extravaganza mm-hmm. that's happening. And so there's lots of different people who I'm kind of connected with in that sphere that I hope will be able to not only add something into Fazel Community Supermarket, but also to kind of share ideas and learnings about how you do this kind of activity really well with mm-hmm. people who might not be able to as easily access this kind of activity. I'm really excited about CineCorp as well, which is the ambition from, I think it's part of Flatpak Film Festival, to have pop-up cinema screens around the city. We've just had a little bit of money from Warwick University to get ourselves a cinema screen.
Exciting yeah. times,
really
isn't it?
Exciting.
But what you're talking about is not just what's happening now. It feels like a foundation for...
It's not just for this year, for City of Culture, but throughout the pandemic, Feeding Coventry became responsible for the food supply chain to the other 10 food hubs that mm-hmm. are in the City of Coventry as well. And what I'd really like to make sure that happens is that we share the knowledge of how to incorporate well-being, creativity and holistic wraparound with eating and cooking together, and embed that in the other, you know, in the other hubs that there are around the city, as well as kind of, you know, bolstering the community centre and making sure that it's a, you know, it's kind of a fully fledged self-sustaining project in its own right.
The future's very exciting. We've come a long way in the last, you know, not even 18 months. We really want to build on the foundations that we've put in place. So we've started, you know, a lot of good work with holistic support and wellbeing activities and practical financial support that people need. We've, you know, started doing some cooking with people thanks to our amazing volunteer chef Tom, and there's lots of foundations that we've put in place, but I think really the plan is just to build on all of those. You know, the more people that we can provide support for, the more people that we can kind of encapsulate into this joyous, lovely, warm environment, they can achieve better life outcomes mm-hmm. from being part of our centre. And the better, and we want to do that through growing amazing produce, you know, on as large a scale as we possibly can. We want to fantastic community cafe, which, you know, serves healthy, nutritious food and allows community groups to come together. We want to be able to hire out the different halls so that we can have amazing activities going on at the centre that are, you know, all community-based activities.
Well, I think it's worthwhile saying that all this future planning is going to happen in an amazing new building, isn't it? Mm. Pretty much. I mean, Ellie, do you want to talk a little bit about the developments of Foshill Community Centre, which is home of Feeding Coventry?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's obviously, it's a very, very old building. So the core of it was built in 48, and the extension of the sports hall is probably like late 70s, I would say. But we were very lucky to get some winsome funding from one of the landfill operators who operates a capital investment scheme. So mm-hmm. we've got some money to remodel the inside. Mm-hmm. So we will create some open plan offices in the centre. But the really important bit is that what's currently now the back office will become a commercial kitchen. And then leading on from that, we will have like a servery of a cafe, and the cafe seating will sort of sit throughout where the lobby currently is now and hopefully spill out onto the front mm-hmm. of the building as well, sort of yes. under the trees and on the grass.
That's beautiful.
I think it's going to be really lovely. And we've got, you know, we've got some issues like accessibility to consider as well in terms of, you know, making the centre really like open to everybody, because
there's a lot of stairs
and it's just a bit of a cranky old building. Yes. You know, it's one of those that's going to really change the way that it looks and feels inside and out. I want to make sure that it ties in really nicely with all those things that Helen's just been talking about,
sure.
because cooking and eating together is really important to me as well as an ambition for Feeding Coventry, and I know that it has been for the trustees as well for a long uh-huh. time. You know, coming from a Greek culture where eating together is so important, mm. and it's like a celebratory, family orientated space to connect with people and enjoy yourself and just kind of feel relaxed. I think that's really important in terms of, you know, maintaining good like community connections and making new networks in your community. When you're operating in crisis mode, food mm-hmm. is a necessity mm. and it's functional. And, you know, in a lot of the research, they often talk about the food budget being the most flexible of all the household budgets. So, you know, you won't not pay your electricity bill because you need to keep the lights on, whereas you can half your food budget bill mm. and just have something that's just like very, very, just purely like calorie intake.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when people get into that situation as well, I think there's shame and mm. like embarrassment of being in that situation.
Mm.
And so I think the idea of being able to have people come together and just like, and share food and share in like that celebratory and really joyous way, that's the counterbalance mm-hmm. for me. And that's where you create the atmosphere where it's deeply felt
mm-hmm.
that food is a right. It's not something that you should be not entitled to because mm-hmm. you don't have the financial resource available mm-hmm. to you at this present moment in time.
Wow. Ellie House and Helen Needham, thank you for a holistic insight into the groundbreaking charity Feeding Coventry. Such a refreshingly different approach to food poverty, huh? On a personal level, and as Vortex, let's shower creativity in a way that transforms futures, supports positive mental well-being, connection and joy as Foshill Community Centre flourishes and the charity radiates. See more of Feeding Coventry and Foshill Community Centre across the social platforms. We'll see you in a couple of weeks in conversation with visual artist Julia Negus, producer of Theatre Absolute and co-founder of the Shopfront Theatre. In the meantime, if you need anything from us, find us across the social with our handle at Vortex Creates and subscribe in your app so you don't miss an episode. Bye for now!